This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
Welcome back to Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. I'm Mike Ross, filling in for Dave, who will return on Monday. It is Friday, and that means our news panel is back together, and in fact, completely kind of back together. I say that because I'm filling in for
you
Dave.
You count.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. It's not Dave, so it's not completely back together, but it's kind of reassembled because we have
It'll
Michelle.
Be for today.
That's right. We got Michelle McQuigg back with us from the Canadian Press, and good to have you back. And we've got
here
Megan Gilmore, our accessibility reporter and freelance journalist, with us as well. Hi, Megan.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. So now that we've welcomed everyone back, everybody's rested for the most part. I don't know. Are you rested, Megan?
I was here last week too, so I'm just the same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I'm just the same. But I'll tell you what. None of us have been to space, so
unfortunately,
and we don't have billions of dollars kicking around anywhere. I don't think.
Unfortunately.
Because if you do, then we're even tighter friends than I thought we were.
But
anyway, we can talk about that later. In the last couple of weeks, a pair of billionaires blasted off into space. Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos kicked off the private space race with their brief forays into the sky. Michelle, this is a story that caught your attention that you wanted to bring to the forefront here. Why?
Well, I feel like it's probably caught everyone's attention on some level. And depending on who you are, depends on what aspect you're glomming onto, because there's just a lot to theoretically look at here. And it's been fascinating to read the wide array of think pieces on this. And I'm sure that you guys have handled this topic elsewhere on the show in other capacities and other segments, maybe even a quiz or two. But I thought it would be a fun chance to get a feel for which facet of this particular story is catching everyone's imagination. If you look at some of the pieces out there, you've got some people that are celebrating this as a real accomplishment of human ingenuity and a triumph of sort of the you know, hard work and the time, a reflection of the times we're in. You've got people that are tentatively praising the potential research aspects that might open up with more players in space. You've got people that are questioning the environmental impact this is going to have. You've got some that are straight up decrying all of this as a horrible thing. This is the privatization of what began as a publicly funded effort, at least in North America. NASA, unbeknownst to me actually, has always been funded with federal dollars, and that research has been meant to benefit the world as a whole. And people are concerned, some are concerned that this is now going to change. You've even got people signing a petition saying that Jeff Bezos should not have been allowed to come back to Earth on Tuesday. So the reactions really, really run the gamut. It's pretty wild. And then you've got all kinds of marketing opportunities popping up. I even saw an adult entertainment press release in my inbox about this, the products that they're launching in conformance with this new development. So it seems to have captured everyone's attention, but no one quite seems to know where they land on it. And I was wondering if you guys were a little more decisive, because I don't know if I am yet.
Megan?
Right. So I was prepared to come on this morning and talk about how ridiculous this is, because there are literally a billion ways you could spend your $1 billion better. Like, you know, Jeff Bezos, why don't you give your employees a raise? Why don't you give them better working conditions? Why don't you do all that? And there is still part of me that is inclined to think this way. I've spent some time thinking about it, especially last night, and listening to other people who are researchers of space discuss different aspects of it. And I'm right now probably more wait and see. There could be the potential for good scientific research to be done on these flights if commercial space travel becomes more of a regular thing. There is the potential for that. And as an individual I was listening to last night pointed out, while it is very easy to point the finger at billionaires for how I think they have not spent their money wisely, I also don't always spend my money wisely either. I don't have as much as they do, but I still don't always spend it the way I should. So I'm trying to view this with a little more grace and humility than I was, let's say, 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I had somebody say to me, there were a few of us discussing this and mostly critical of the spending. And somebody said, well, what about the Wright brothers, right? Like, they were the first ones to fly. Did anybody, you know, have it out for them? Was anybody taking shots at them? And I said, well, I don't know. I wasn't on Twitter back then. But, you know, flight did not exist. They created it. Like the closest thing you had to it was a hot air balloon at the time. So it's not at all a fair comparison, because in this case, space travel has existed for decades and decades. So it's not like they were inventing something new and showing it off to the world. They're simply doing something that they could afford to do. I think what really sticks in people's craw here is this perception of just decadence and basically sticking it to everybody else who can't do it, right? And when most of us, who especially given the year that we've just lived through, never mind from a healthcare and a public health standpoint, just from an economic standpoint, when you hear about someone dropping $28 million to go on a space flight, that really is a 4-minute space experience, I think you can't help but feel negativity and want to criticize and you know, even lash out at some of this. And then when I see a guy like Jeff Bezos get out of his little capsule and he's walking around with a cowboy hat on, like, it just, to me, the optics of it all were just horrible. Now, at the end of the day, you got the money, you can do what you want, right? Like, I'm a big sports fan. Well, there are billionaires out there who run football teams and baseball teams and hockey teams. And I watch them all, soccer teams. I watch all of it. And I have no criticism of them using those billions of dollars to run a sports team. Why? Because I love sports. I love to watch it, and I don't have the money to own a team. So, you know, good on them, and thank you to them for putting up that dough. But when it comes to space, I mean, it'd be interesting to try. It's not at the top of my bucket list, but I think because I just don't necessarily have a big interest in it, you know, it's easier for me to criticize it. And take my shots. What do you think, Michelle?
That's a fair point. I think perhaps if I was a space buff, which I haven't been, I find it marginally interesting. But if I was a space buff, I might take a bit of a more permissive view of things. But I a couple of points, if you don't mind. Going back to your first point about it's their money and they can theoretically spend it how they wish. Of course they can. But you know, if you want to, you know, get a really sweet ride or really trick out your yacht or travel to the furthest corners of the earth on your own and do your own thing, those things don't have global, potentially intergalactic impact. These things do. It is wild if you look at some of the stats around carbon footprint of a single flight like this. And of course, we're not talking about a single flight. These guys are not just indulging in their own dreams of potentially going to space, which they share with millions of people. I recognize this. But they are talking about launching space tourism businesses and having ongoing impacts from developing this technology. So I don't necessarily think it's just a case of spend your money your way. It's not that simple in this case. The other thing that just really kind of jumps out to me and that I think about when reflecting on this whole question is the way that the shifting of the space race has really deepened and entrenched economic inequity. If you think about the space race the first time around, like back in the 50s and 60s, It was such a high-stakes game, and you had literally the world teetering on the brink of war while this kind of stuff was playing out between nations. And programs were established that, at least in the United States, I'm not as familiar with the Soviet efforts, but at least in the States, were very equitable and allowed people of really profound intellectual abilities from all walks of life. We're talking like rural farmers, people from low-income neighborhoods, to get on board with this, get their qualifications, pursue really interesting dreams, and do a lot of great work in the process. It feels very different now. This is truly an elitist game at this point, and we don't have any real sense that any of this is going to be funneled back and have broader benefits, that it might just stay in this club. And that gives me pause for sure, and I know a lot of others too.
Megan?
I think Michelle's brought a really great point here about the history of space travel and how it's changed. Like, let's make no mistake, it was a Cold War effort. This was
Absolutely.
About yeah, like it was political from the beginning, and it always will be. But then, even as the space race rolled out, there started to be concerns from different U.S. politicians, even. JFK at one point, about the cost of it and how much it was costing, and you could see that conversation shift a bit. So for me, it was interesting that I reflected on this a lot more, just seeing these different threads of it come together. Because on one hand, the space race has always been about political aspirations, about exerting your nation's dominance, and then also space itself, the actual natural beauty of space is something that can create awe and wonder, and in some cases feelings of transcendence, and actually really help give perspective to humanity about who we are in the universe. And that, I think, is a really interesting element, and I wouldn't want the awe that space should inspire in people to be lost in all the political and economic part of it. But both those things are aligned together.
Like, what's left to get people that fired up? What's left?
Anyway. Well, for me, I have no interest in really going to space. It's not on my bucket list at all. I would like to get into a submarine and go to the depths, the deepest depths of the ocean. That would get me really pumped up. What about you? I mean, just quickly around the table to wrap this up, Michelle. If you had a chance not to be an astronaut, not to go to NASA or anything like that, but to be a space tourist, is that something you would jump at?
Based on the kind of motion sickness I've experienced on planes, probably not. I think I'd have to pass. I would love to experience, I'd love to go into like an anti-gravity chamber or something and experience weightlessness, but I would pass. And I think a big component is that the visual aspect of viewing the Earth from up there would be entirely lost on me. So
right. No,
thank you.
Megan?
I'd be more inclined to do it if I was going with somebody who this was a big dream for them and I was sharing in this great experience for them. For myself, I don't know, if I could make it a job, if you were going to let me write about it and I'm going to expense my space travel, okay, maybe.
Well,
but,
I would take that assignment too, in fairness. But
and that's fair enough. But money is not an object. It's not a problem here. So, if you want to use it as an opportunity to write about it, absolutely. But money's not an object. You don't have to worry about expensing anything. You could just go as a space tourist, and you would go. I'm not really into it. I like watching other people do it. In fact, last year I got an opportunity to do some voiceover work for a virtual reality spacewalk experience, and I can't wait to see that in person and hear my voice as it is animated into space, which will be kind of cool. But now I'm
share
all about
that. I want to hear that.
Yeah,
awesome.
I can't wait.
So you've already been to space?
Kinda, yeah, virtually. I've virtually been to space. Where I have not been is to the bottom of the ocean, and that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get in a submarine with James Cameron. There's a guy who spent a lot of money and not a lot of criticism for him about going to Titanic. Not a lot. There was some, but not nearly the same amount of vitriol as watching guys like Branson, especially, and Bezos especially. But, hey, I read a meme the other day that said, my dad got to watch Neil Armstrong walk on the moon, and I watched a guy who destroyed bookstores, killed the bookstores, go to space on the ugliest of spacecrafts. So I said, wow.
Unfortunately,
there's
really shaped, I understand.
Yes, that's what I've heard, yes. So we'll leave that topic for another day. Thank you very much for kicking off our news panel with that one. When we come back, we're going to address our second topic. And this is all about the pandemic and young people, eating disorders among young people up during this pandemic. We'll address how the pandemic has impacted our youth when we come back. It's Now with Dave Brown and our news panel on AMI.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.